Thank you, Lord God. Father, as we spend the next few minutes studying your word, I pray that your spirit will come. Your spirit will come and be our teacher. That you will open up your word to us. Give us greater understanding. Refine us through your word. Change us, Lord God. Change the parts of us, Lord God, that are not of you. That you may be glorified in our lives, Lord God. You are glorified in our transformation. We can do nothing in our own strength, but in you, all things are possible. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the weight of your presence. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. As I went over our lesson this morning, this whole week has been a time of the Holy Spirit doing this work. The Holy Spirit bringing pieces and pieces and pieces together of where he's taking us, of where he's taking us as individuals, as intercessors, as a ministry. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, and I shared this on our line last night because when I was speaking to Tony this week, he he called me. And I love to talk to Tony because he's just full of life and excitement about things and what God is doing. And, you know, he listens to everything. He edits it so we can put it up on our website. And he called me one time and he said, you know, the first time you were talking about the manifestation of the sons of God, you said sons of God represents sons and daughters of God. And it does. It's a gender neutral. Not that we're gender neutral, but it's referring to both men and women in the scriptures. He said, but then you stop saying it. How come? And I said, because I believe we're in a time of maturity where I don't need to make the breakdown. I don't need to define that. We should not be offended as women if I don't say sons and daughters of God, but rather we need to embrace our place as children of God and not get hung up on those things. And he was so excited to hear me say that. Because that's what the Lord had been speaking to him between those 2 weeks when I talked about the manifestation of the sons of God. Because they're coming, and those sons of God are going to need to walk in a place of maturity, not just maturity in God, but a life of holiness. And so when he called me this week, he had another little nugget for me, and it very much excited me. And he said, you know, in the Aramaic translation in the book of Acts, when the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is released, when they're up in the upper room, it actually reads, Spirit of Holiness. And it ignited a message last night on the corporate line. And I know we put this up on the website too, and everybody's going to hear that. And hopefully they'll go back and listen to last night's message. But the reality of it is, he's calling us into a Spirit of Holiness, a life of holiness. Our flesh needs to submit to the Spirit of God that's within us. And that Spirit of God that's within us is a Spirit of holiness that's moving through us. That is what we function in. And everything that we read this week, everything that we studied, every cross-reference we did in our Ephesians study was about living a life of holiness. This isn't just about holiness in the flesh and the things that we do. We speak the truth. You know, we honor God. It's not just about what we don't do. We don't lie. We don't steal. And all of those things are very practical application. And Paul is speaking to Gentiles because the Gentiles, they had no formal training in this. No formal training, no formal upbringing. We learned in our Roman study, in our covenant study, that the law was put in place to what? To be a tutor, to watch over you, to give you guidance and direction in your walk with God. That's the purpose of the law. That's why he gave it to his chosen people. When they came out of Egypt, they came out of a land that was very, very defiled. They worshiped every god but the one true God. He needed to bring them back under his holiness. Abraham, of all the people on the planet, Abraham was a friend of God. He was a man of righteousness. That's why the covenant promise was given through him. There was integrity from deep within him. And God chose him for the covenant promise. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they came out of a Babylonian empire. They came out of a nation that believed in anything and everything but the one true God. While they're in the desert, Moses is up on the mount. He's getting the Ten Commandments. And the people are down gathering their gold for what? To make a calf to worship. That's how defiled they were. That's how prone they were to returning to the ways of the past, the ways that they had been in. Moses comes down from the mount. He brings in the Ten Commandments. Of course, he drops them because he's so shocked at what he's witnessing. Your God delivered you from darkness. What are you doing? He delivered you from darkness. What are you doing picking back up the pieces of that darkness? You have been brought into the light of the living God. Walk in it. The fire of God came down and consumed. Moses had to stand in the gap lest all of the people be destroyed. So here we have Moses, and he's been given the Ten Commandments. He's been very simple Ten Commandments. The first three, relationship between man and God. The next seven, the relationship between one another. It's a pretty simple thing, pretty simple guideline. More was added later, the intricacies, the details, of course, as we learned, until it became a religious system. But they still were raised up with the tutor. The law was set in place to lead them to their God. Paul is preaching, he's speaking to the Ephesians, and he's telling them, this is what you need to do, because they didn't come under that religious system. They didn't come up under the law, the tutor, the guide. Back in that time, the wealthy would have, they would have a servant that would make sure their children, this servant went with their child everywhere he or she went, everywhere, to make sure that they followed the integrity of the family and of the law. He was the tutor for that child everywhere he went. It's like being walking around with a playpen around you. Getting ready to step to the right, that bumper's going to push you right back. Getting ready to go to the left, there's that bumper. This is not what your family would want. This is not what God would want. The structure was in place to keep them, to protect them from defiling themselves until Christ came. And when Christ came and he did the work to bring us into the place of holy, of holies, of actual presence with God, intimacy with God. In Acts book 2, when they release, in the chapter 2, when the Spirit is released, that's the Spirit of holiness. Jesus came, did the work. You could go into the Holy of Holies. The Spirit of holiness indwells you, infills you. The Spirit of holiness lives in you. And Paul is saying, listen, you've got his Spirit in you. Don't defile your flesh. Don't walk in darkness. Walk in the light as children of the light. As children of the light. The light. In him, there is no darkness. He is light. He is life. Where he is, darkness must flee. Where he is, darkness must flee. The more you feed him, the more you feed your spirit man, the more you take the word and prayer into your life and allow that fire, that light to be ignited within you, the more we burn off the world. And we can walk in his light. Are we walking as children of the light? Are we letting him indwell us, fill us so completely that when someone looks at us, they see light coming from our eyes? Moses had to wear a veil because the light of God emanated from him. The glory of God emanated from his face, and the children of Israel were in fear. But the glory, they knew the darkness they had lived in. They knew it. They lived in it. When the glory came down with Moses, when the glory came down with Moses, something stirred in their flesh because they knew the darkness that was within them. Most of the church today is living in that darkness. They don't even recognize the glory. The Israelites saw the cloud come down upon the mountain. They heard the voice of God like thunder. They knew God. But they didn't know experientially and with intimacy who God was. They hadn't yet experienced him. He came down with the Ten Commandments. He came down with the instructions for the tabernacle that was built outside the camp, the tent, where the presence of God would come down and dwell. They knew that's a manifestation of the glory of God. They couldn't even enter the Holy of Holies. Only the priest with the depth of refining that he would have to go through in preparation for the Day of Atonement. Only the priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And if he hadn't gone through the proper refinement, he would drop dead, because the Holy of Holies is the presence of holiness. Holiness. Through and through, we have the Spirit of holiness within us. When we breathe out, we breathe out the spirit of holiness. When we speak the word, we're speaking out the spirit of holiness. We're speaking out the word of God. We're speaking out truth and light and life into those around us. That's what we're created to do. It wasn't just the great. It's not just Moses. It's not just Abraham. It's not just Paul. It's Peter, James, and John. It's not just them. We have a direct line to him. We've been created to release his light into the earth. When the church embraces this in the fullness, they will rise up with Christ as a head coming down upon them, and he will guide them and direct them, and light will pour across this earth. So few understand the purpose of our creation. Children of light. We're here to bring people to the kingdom. Everything else will burn. Everything else will be gone. Everything else will fade. It all decays. It'll all burn up. The only thing that remains is the spirit. The only thing that remains is that which can go to heaven or to hell. That's all that remains. Are we walking as children of the light, vessels of the light? When we speak, does life flow from us? In the darkness, there is no light. But in the light, there is no darkness. Are we flowing in the magnitude of the vessel of light he's created us to flow in? Do we grab hold of it? Do we enter into it? Do we step into his presence? Are we still crawling around as children? Have we reached a level of maturity that we can go before the throne with boldness and decree the word of the Lord? Why? Because we have been transformed by his word. And we are vessels taking from the throne room of God down into the earth, bottling that which we've been created to battle. Are we taking authority where we need to take authority? Or are we still running around as victims? We are victors in Christ. Overcomers by the word of the Lord and the power of our testimony. Overcomers in Christ. That's what we've been created to be. No longer children tossed to and fro, but adults walking in the light. In the light. In the light. Well, I was reading that this morning. I had a vision. I had a vision of stepping into the light, and the light circled around me, and it penetrated deep within and without. He said, come into the light. Walk in the light. Step in the light. He didn't say crawl to the light. He said, step into it. That's a sign of maturity. He's saying, come into the light. Come into maturity. Stop being bounced back and forth as a child and step into your place in God. It's a maturity he's calling us to walk in. It's a place of boldness. It's a place of authority. That's where God is bringing us. That's where God is longing to draw us into. As children of the light, we draw others to the light. Edify one another. Refine one another. As pastors, as teachers, as apostles, as evangelists, as preachers, draw them to the light. Bring them in. The time is short. Bring them in. We don't go and assimilate with the darkness. We go, we rescue and bring them into the light. We don't stay there and let the darkness overwhelm us, because it will. One of the best examples that my pastor ever gave me 30 years ago, I shared this before. I was young. I was silly. Well, I may be silly now, but I was young then, so I had an excuse. So I go up to him, and I said, can you please pray for my friend that he'll get saved? And he already knew what was in my heart. Why? Because he had the wisdom of the years of being a pastor. He already knew. And he puts me up on his on this chair, and he says, okay, pull me up. So I just laughed, you know. I'm like, oh, okay, I can't. He said, no, really, try to pull me up. And I went to pull him up, one yank, and he brought me off the chair. He said, don't be unequally yoked. Because you can never bring them up.
That's right.
That means don't get all wrapped up with them. You go, you rescue, you bring to the light. You don't stay there. People say, well, I can't get people saved if I'm not walking around with them. You know, I go to the bars to witness to people. Where is the logic in that? Oh, well, we go dance together, but then I can witness after. Do you have a drink? Well, I mean, I can't not have a drink. How can I witness to them? Do you hear what you're saying to me? Where is the logic in what you're telling me? You are, with every step, entering the darkness. You ever been to a bar? You ever been to a dancing bar? There is no light in there. The only light are flickers of light. Darkness overwhelms. You go. You rescue them, and you bring them into the light. You don't swim in the darkness. We don't get unequally yoked.
Right.
That means we don't allow ourselves to become so intertwined emotionally with them that they begin to bring us down into the world. It's not that we're at a higher level with them in any area except spiritually. Because we've been here longer, we've grown, we should be spiritually further along.
Amen.
We go, we get them, We rescue them, and we bring them into the light so they can walk in the freedom, and God can begin to change them. Every interaction that we have with them needs to be depositing His light, His life in them. We should dominate the conversation with Christ.
Yes, yes.
We get all wrapped up in all of this darkness and all of this world stuff. What happens? We forget our call. When you walk away, did you leave a deposit of His light in their lives, or did they leave a piece of their darkness in yours?
Oh, have mercy, Lord.
He's calling us to step into the light as men and women of God. Yes. Maturity. Maturity in Him. Maturity in Him. Jesus walked with His disciples. They didn't crawl after Him. He walked with them. He poured life and light into them. And they were ready for the Spirit to come. When the Spirit of holiness was released, their shells were ready to receive. And what came from those men? Holiness. Because they let the Spirit of holiness guide and direct their lives. You can read in the New Testament, the Spirit wouldn't let Paul go here. The Spirit said to go there. You can read as the disciples went out according to the word of the Lord, when they went out according to the Spirit of the Lord. He led them. And the only way He could do that is because they were ready. They were mature in Him. That's why this time is so important. That's why the refining, that's why last year, know no bounds. Why? Because we saw the sheer volume of what God would allow us to do if we stepped into the fullness. This year, the refining. To get us ready for the deposit that's coming. Because why? I said it last night. We are the move of God.
Hallelujah.
We are the move of God. We got to stop waiting. We got to stop watching. We got to start being the move of God. What does Fred say? You be me, do. That's what the Lord God says. You be me, do. Let the power of the living God flow through you day in and day out. Step into the maturity. Step into the fullness. When people think about you, do they think about your title? Oh, yeah, no, he's a pastor because it's pastor. Or do they think about you and think, that is a man of God? That is a man of God. Because he left his mark on me. I feel the presence of God when I'm in his midst. You can't go anywhere with Obey without him leading someone to the Lord. You ever go to dinner with him? He opens the door for someone. Do you know Jesus? The waitress comes. How you doing? Do you know Jesus? The cashier takes our money. He says, how are you today? I'm good, thank you. Are you blessed? Do you know Jesus? He was in, I think it was in Nigeria one time. His plane got delayed, got canceled. And he was held over for a day. He went to a restaurant to get some coffee and a biscuit while he's waiting because he's there another day. He tells the waitress, the Lord held a plane of 200 and something people so he could be in that seat and tell her about Jesus. She accepted the Lord that day. He didn't yet those circumstances define him. He used those circumstances to bring the light to that woman. And she accepted the Lord. And she was changed. by that encounter. A man of God was sent to me, his plane was canceled, and he was in my section. And he led me to Jesus. Be the presence of God in the room. Be the presence of God in the room. Be the presence of God. I was reading, Arthur Burke has a really good book about praying the blessings of God. And this one is Jehovah Shema. And Ken and Debbie, please let me know if I pronounced that correctly. Jehovah Shema.
That's right.
It comes from Ezekiel 48:35. Ezekiel had a vision of the temple, a vision of Jerusalem, a vision. Seven chapters, the layout of the land. The very last verse, very last chapter, the very last verse in Ezekiel 48:35. And the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord is There. Jehovah Shema. When they look at you, do they say Jehovah Shema? Do they? When they interact with you, when they pass by you, when they go by your house, do they say Jehovah Shema? The Lord God is there. What defines you? Is it your title? Is it your job? Is it your status in life? What defines you? This Jehovah Shema define you. The Lord is there. Heavenly Father, be here in our presence of God. Be in and through us. Do what you have to do so that when they look upon us, they will cry out, Jehovah Shema. Let your mark upon us be so great, so deep, so permanent, that there is no doubt who we belong to. Let your light flow through us so powerfully that they don't look at our shadow, Lord God, because they see the glory of the Lord. They see the glory of the Lord, and all they want is a piece of you. They want to come out of the darkness they're in and enter into the light, because you are here. And that's what they crave. The people flock to you when you walk this earth, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, the people flock to you. Because there was holiness in you. They saw the miracles of God coming through you. They didn't yet know who you were, but they knew you were a man of God. Jehovah Shema. Every name of God we see in the Old Testament, you demonstrated while you walked this earth. You provided, you healed, you restored, And you were there with them. Let us reflect. Let us emanate. Let us step into the light and let your light flow out from us, Lord God, in the fullness you've created us to be in. Will you do that in us, Lord? Will you do that? Just feel magnitude of what you're wanting to do in us because of what is coming. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord, to be the move of God we've been waiting for. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.